We're so happy to see everybody here this morning. We got several visitors and just I'm happy to have everyone here. May the Lord bless you. I also want to announce there is a community correction center service today if you're involved in that ministry, and I appreciate everybody that is. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 20, if you'd like to read there with me. We'll start there, and I may read some other scriptures, probably will. But Exodus chapter 20 is a famous chapter in the Bible. It is the chapter where we talk about the Ten Commandments, and how important those are. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 1, said, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation, unto them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." I want to preach on our indescribable God. Idolatry has always been a great and terrible temptation to man. Man is a worshiper. Man will always worship something. Even atheistic regimes have turned into worshiping different things. They worship the government. If you want to know that communist Russia, what they worship, just go to Lenin's tomb, or, you know, study history about how they used to go to Lenin's tomb. They worshiped a man. But at any rate, man is a worshiper. It's a strange thing that man gets in the habit of doing, making images of their own hands by their own hands, and then bowing down to them and calling them God and praying to them. I never forget when I was down in the San Blas Islands in Panama and staying with a certain fellow that was supposed to be the pastor of the church there. I looked over in the corner, and it was one of their little idols that they have. It kind of looks like a walking stick, really, but a little idol on top of a walking stick. And I found out that he had been an idol maker before he got saved. It looked to me like he was going back to his idol making, and he did, by the way, sadly. But it's strange that people would make things and then worship things and then expect those things that they make to be able to get them out of problems that are too big for them. That's exactly the way that man does. And when God demanded that there be no other gods before him, he said, "I'm like no other thing and like no other person." And then when he said, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images and bow down to them," that included anything that would try to describe him. Now, I know that there's been some talented sculptors. There have been some amazing artists. But the truth is, no sculptor nor artist could ever depict God the way he really is. And to make God, even a symbol of God, to where people would bow down to that, is somewhat saying of God, he's describable. You can paint him. You can sculpt him. You can whittle him out of wood. And I'm just going to tell you, there ain't nobody like God. Amen. He's higher than the highest. He's greater than our imagination. He's more tremendous than our vocabulary. There's nothing that we can say nor do to describe him. And so when he was speaking about these worshipful images, that's what he was talking about. He wasn't just talking about, say, a decoration or something like that. He talking about something that someone would make that they would worship. He was saying, if you're trying to whittle me out, if you're trying to paint me, let me just tell you, you can't do it. Amen. You cannot in any wise describe God in that manner. He's bigger than all of that. He's greater than all of that. He's more powerful than all of that. And so it's a sin to bow down and worship these things. But friends, sometimes even maybe in our own minds, I mean, we may not whittle him out and so on, but sometimes we might confine him down to our own thinking, our own ways, and make him very, very small and minute. But in that second commandment about God, he wants us to understand he's great. He's high and lifted up. When that Moses went before Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked a question when Moses said that the Lord said to let my people go. Pharaoh, who lived amongst a bunch of carved gods, a bunch of carried gods, a bunch of artworks that they called gods, said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" He's fixing to find out. Amen. I'm going to tell you, he's bigger than the frog god. Amen. He's bigger than the lice god. He's bigger than the Nile god. He's bigger than the sun god. And he's bigger than Pharaoh, that claimed to be God as well. Amen. In Psalm 139, it says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me." You know, sometimes I even surprise myself. I don't even know if I know myself all that well. Amen. But he searches us and he knows us. He knows us. "Thou knowest my downsettings and my uprisings." I couldn't count however many times I even sat down and stood up in this service right now off the top of my head, but God knows every time I did. And not only that, he knows every time you did. And however many times everybody in this world did. Said, "Thou understandest my thoughts afar off." You know what? Sometimes even in church, if somebody's testifying, I'll have to say, "What'd they say?" I can't understand them afar off, but God don't have any static nor hearing problem about what all we think. Not just what we say, but what it comes across loud and clear. "Amen, thou compasseth my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." Amen. God knows exactly how all the ways that we have went. Amen. He's compiled them up. "For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, thou, O Lord, knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and thy hand is upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." And friend, when we get to really thinking about God, it is a high thing, isn't it? It's an amazing thing. Amen. "Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heaven, thou art there." That's the best place anybody could be. And God's there. And it says, "If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." That's the worst place somebody could be. But God's there. "Amen. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea." That's an impossible place. Who can live in the sea? "Amen. But it says, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Brother Wallace Timmons used to say, hey man, God sees every black bug under every black rock on a black night. God sees. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. For thou hast passed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. In other words, even before I was born, God knew exactly everything about us. And friend, I want you to know he knows your name. Amen. He knows all of those things. I loved it back a few years ago when I read that scripture. I'd always thought that the Bible says that God knew the number of the hairs on your head. That's not what it says. It says he numbers the hairs of your head. Amen. It's one thing for him to know we got 1,000 or a million, whatever we got. I don't have a clue. But I'll tell you, it's another thing to say he numbers them. In other words, that's number one, that's number two, that's number three, number four. Well, number five just took off. Amen. Amen. We'll rename number six, number five right now. But he's got them all numbered, the Bible says. I know he calls the stars by name, but he calls all of my hair a certain number. And he does yours too. Praise God. Amen. I know I told this story before. Amen. But there was a preacher who's pretty discouraged back during the, before the age of the cell phone. He was taking a trip, and as he's driving down the road, they pulled off to eat, and his family went into a Pizza Hut off to the side, and he kind of stayed in the van just a little bit before he went in. All of a sudden, a payphone, an ancient thing of Stone Age history back years ago. Amen. For you young people that don't know what they are, a payphone was there on the side of the road. And it started ringing, and he said, I don't know why in the world I answered that phone. Why would I answer a payphone? He said, but I picked it up, and the lady said, oh, Pastor, I'm so glad you're home. She said, I've been needing to talk to you about something. She said, something is so on my heart. She talked to him, and he gave her some advice. And she said, Pastor, I don't know what I'd have done if you wasn't at home. Thank you for answering your phone. He hung up. Amen. Got back in the van after they ate. He's so happy. He had been discouraged. And she said, what are you so happy about? His wife did. He said, God knows my phone number. Hallelujah. I tell you, he knows your name. He knows when you sit down, you stand up. He knows where you're walking. He's there before you get there. He compasses you. Before and behind. He's in front of you. He's behind you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Who would want a God that you could describe? Who would want a God that you needed to carry around? Who'd want a God you'd have to dust off? Who'd want a God that you can, amen, put within your own confines of your own imagination? I'm glad that I serve an indescribable God that cares for us and loves us. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to a scripture that Brother Robert referred to in Isaiah chapter 40. Amen. I love Isaiah, 66 chapters. Amen. You know there's 66 books in the Bible. Some people have called Isaiah a little Bible. Amen. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah have to deal a lot with the Old Testament government, seems like. Amen. I'm not telling you there wasn't a promise of the Messiah and certain things of grace, but just like the Old Testament had a government of God and predicted the Messiah coming, and oh, how wonderful that was. But you know, and all of a sudden in chapter 40, the last 27 chapters deal with a whole lot different picture. And the center of the last 27 chapters is Isaiah 53. Hallelujah. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. Glory to God. I want you to understand that Isaiah, some even have called him the fifth gospel. He had so much about Jesus Christ. And in Isaiah 40 in verse 1, it says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Amen. I love that, because God does not stutter. If he said, comfort ye, my people, amen, he was wanting double comfort to come to the people of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Comfort ye, my people, he said. And then he said, speak comfortably to Jerusalem. And he talks about all of this, amen, and crying to her, and her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Yes, he said, I chastised her, I gave my wrath to her, she had double for her sins, but now pardoned her, I put away her sins, comfort you, amen, for double punishment, I'm given double comfort. Hallelujah. You may be here today feeling like that you've sure paid for your sins, but God has double comfort for double punishment for your sins. Then it starts out in verse 3. Isn't it amazing here, this last 27 chapters, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make straight the day. You know who that's talking about, John the Baptist, but you know who the Lord is. The Lord is Jesus Christ. John the Baptist comes and prepares the way of the Lord, and Jesus comes. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What a great thing it is. The glory of God was manifested in flesh and walked amongst us. Praise the name of the Lord. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm glad. Amen. I know that God's indescribable somewhat, but I'm also glad that God showed us how much he loves us. And God showed us how much he cared for us. And God showed us what he wants to do for us and in us and through us by Jesus Christ coming into this world. And his glory was housed in flesh. But, amen, as Brother Robert said, there's a lot of scriptures in this about how great God is, and so I'll just read a few of them. In verse 12 it says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heavens with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains and scales and the hills in a balance. God did that. Hey man, I realize if we had somebody here that had a real big hand, and you could get a cup of water in that hand, that'd be an amazing man. That'd be a big man right there. God holds the Atlantic and the Pacific, amen, and all the oceans and the waters in his hand. I've been up to the Great Lakes. You can't see across, amen, the Great Lakes. I've been at the edge of the ocean. You can't see across the ocean. And so, friend, if you on one side of God's hand, hey man, you couldn't see across to the other side. But praise God, he holds all of that in the palm of his hand. And the Bible says he meted out the heavens with a span. Hey man, I don't know. They keep on measuring it bigger and bigger and bigger all the time. But this universe is billions of light years wide, and God's thumbs out on one side and his little fingers out on the other side. That's what a span is. Hey man, his hand spans the heavens. Glory be to Jesus. Hey man, behold, in verse 15, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. Brother Vince Wilson used to say, if you put a bucket on either side of even a child and put a drop of water in one of those buckets and asked and blindfolded the child, amen, and had him pick up the bucket, amen, and ask him which one had a drop of water in it, amen, he couldn't tell which one it was. And he said, you could take all the nations and put them in one bucket on either side of God, and he's so powerful that when he picked them up, he couldn't tell which one was empty and which one had the nations in it. I know some people get worried about the nations, but they're counted as small dust in the balance. Hallelujah. Amen. When that somebody is wanting to weigh something out just right, they may make sure that the balance is perfect and right, but I'm going to tell you right now, they never dust off the balance. Amen. I know I've said some of this before. Y'all bear with me. Amen. But, amen, I've tried to lose weight, and right now I'm in a weight gaining program. Amen. No matter what people say, I have not lost any weight. I'm so much heavier now than I was last year. It's embarrassing. But at any rate, as much as I want the scale to go down, amen, I take off my shoes and my jacket and stuff, but, you know, I've never dusted it off, because dust don't matter. Amen. And the nations are like dust in a balance. They're insignificant. Amen. God just keeps right on going. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Verse 17, all nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him as less than nothing and vanity. They're like bubbles. Amen. They don't hinder God. God's on his throne. Amen. He's greater than you. Can't compare the president. And I realize we talk about the authority of kings and leaders of this world and say he's the King of Kings. That's biblical. But in all reality, just like Brother Robert said, that's a pitiful example. Amen. The rulers of this world are as nothing in comparison to the rulership of our God in heaven. Amen. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? He's indescribable. He's greater than all of these things. Amen. Verse 22 says, it is he that setteth on the circle of the earth. Amen. Now, I'll have to admit, one time I was in a Sunday school class, amen, when I was evangelizing, and the fellow was talking about Genesis, and he got to speaking about evolution, how some people believe evolution. He said, that's not biblical. I amened him on that. Then he said, some people even teach that the world's round. I almost started laughing, but then all of a sudden, it was obvious he believed it was flat. Well, the Bible says that God sits on the circle of the earth. Amen. Amen. Don't let anybody deceive you about that. I don't think anybody would. But, amen, he sits on the circle of the earth. When the rest of the world and science thought that the world was flat, the Bible was right all along back then. And I want to tell you, even right now, amen, when scientists and intellectuals say that it was an evolutionary process, when it's all said and done, it's going to be what God said in Genesis 1. That's going to rule the day. Amen. Amen. He sits on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Amen. I've never tripped over a grasshopper. I've never had a grasshopper hinder me from coming to church. Amen. Or doing anything I want to do. Amen. I'll tell you, there's nobody in this world that's going to stop God's progress. Amen. He's bigger than the nations. He's bigger than individuals. Amen. He stretched out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Just as easy as you ladies move your curtains around in your house, God can roll up the heavens. He can move them here and there however he wants to do it. Just as easy as a boy sets up a pup tent in the back, God can put them up and
God? Who'd want a tiny God? Who'd want a small God? Hey, amen. I want a God that's bigger than me. I want a God that's greater than I am. I want a God that blows my mind, that stretches my imagination. Hallelujah. That brings me to a place of awesome worship.
You're going to worship something, friend. Oh, yes. Oh, glory. I want to worship a God that's bigger than me. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. This is what I want to come down to. Would you all agree that God has knowledge and strength and power? That God has greatness? When you put God in a box, when you make him small and minuscule, you make his power small and nothing. This God, in verse 29 of Isaiah 40, the writer of the prophet Isaiah says, he, this God, this God, he giveth. Now that's amazing in itself, isn't it? He giveth, what's he give? He gives power. Who's he give it to? To the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why? Because they got a God that's bigger than them. They got a God that's indescribable in his power and wisdom. And he gives. He gives to weak people strength. He gives to faint people help. You say, Brother Lloyd, I'm in trouble right now. Thank God you got a God that's bigger than you are. He's indescribable. How great thou art. He knows your name. He knows when you sit down, when you stand up, when you're going through a valley. Amen. Amen. Away with these gods that have eyes but cannot see, and ears but cannot hear, hands but cannot touch. I want a God that's a great God that knows all things, that has all power. Amen. Amen. Oh, let men worship things and stuff. I'm going to lift up the name of my God. I'm going to bow down before him because he's the one that can take care of us. He can move the mountains. He can change the nations. He can deliver from sin. He can clean somebody's blood of hepatitis C. He can deliver from an incurable disease they find in the back, or take a smashed hand and use it to glorify his holy name to a doctor. Hey, man, I'll tell you what he can do. He can say, stand up, I've taken your drug habit and what all these other drug rehab places could not do. God just speaking the word takes care of it all. I'll tell you what God can do. Hey, man, God can remake a heart that had a hole in it and make it perfectly well. I'll tell you what God can do. He can take gout right out. Amen. Just as soon. Amen. As you raise your hands and praise the Lord, all of that fiery hurt that's in that foot can leave by the power of God. Amen. I just want you to know right now, he can correct retinas. Amen. He can rebuild them. Oh, my God's a great God. Amen. We ought to believe him. Who is the Lord?
Lord that I should obey him is what Pharaoh said. I say he's a great God and everybody ought to obey him. He can heal you of your sickness. He can take you through cancer. Can he, Brother Mike? Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. I want you to understand you're going to worship somebody. Why worship a small God? Why worship a pitiful God? It's time to lift up an indescribable, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God. Hey, amen. Why bow down and say, I don't know if you can save them. God can deliver. I don't know if God can heal them. God can heal them. I don't know if my heart will ever be the same again. God can heal your heart. God can heal your home. God can do it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That second commandment, amen, is not just a forbidding of bowing down to these little things. Amen. It's saying I'm the only one that deserves worship. Worship me. I'm big enough to be worshiped. All these other things are so petty and weak. Why give your time and devotion to him? Oh, lift up God. Put him in his rightful place. He'll change your life. You know, a couple Sundays ago, while I was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell, and I said to put your hand on yourself if you're sick, and we're going to just pray for yourself. We'll pray for you right then. Y'all remember that? Amen. There was people touched because you was in the presence of a great God. Hallelujah. Listen, church, we don't just come, amen, to hear good preaching and good singing, and we got that, but it's all about the greatness of God. It's the greatness of our living God. Hallelujah. He sets high, but he looks low. Amen. He understands what you're going through. You say, Brother Lord, I come to church pretty weak this morning. You're the one. You're the one. Amen. He's wanting to give you something this morning. He's wanting to give you power. He's wanting to give you strength. He's wanting to lift you up. He's wanting you to fly and soar high with the eagles. Oh, give him a praise. What'd you say, brother?
Receive it. Receive it.
Yeah. Oh, receive the strength of God. Receive the power of God. Woo. Glory to God. Glory to God. Could we all stand? Let's give him a hand clap of praise and honor the God of glory. I just feel like God's wanting to help somebody in such a real way. Amen. The power of God's in this place. There could be miracles done with nobody being anointed. I mean, we already have her already. But it's the presence of God that makes the difference. Amen. If you're feeling weak, I want you to come up here and raise your hands and start worshiping your big God. Your indescribable, amazing God. If you say, I'm just feeling a little weak here. Amen. I'm going to lift him up. I'm going to put him in his rightful place. Lift him up. Come on right now. Feeling a little weak right now. Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter if it's the heavy burden of a trial or some type of testing that you're going through. You got a God that's bigger than every temptation, a God that's bigger than every trial. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. I appreciate thee. I feel like there's some more. Amen. Sometimes just admitting your need and lifting up the Lord, that's a great thing to do. Glory be to Jesus. Come on up here. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to lift up my big God. I'm going to take my little needs. Amen. In comparison to him, they're little. I'm not saying they are in comparison to me or you. Amen. But God wants to give you power and strength. Glory to God. Could we all come around this altar? Let's lift up God. Let's help these. Amen. As they're seeking the Lord, let's help them to lift up God. It's easier when many people are praising and lifting up his holy name. Let's praise him. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. Thank you.